All right, great. Otis, I think we're on the air.
Okay.
Great. So, first of all, good morning, and thank you again for, you know, offering your or volunteering your time to be on these calls and help all of us coaches here for our own learning and development. So I want to just start off with saying, you know, what would you like to work on today? What's on your mind?
You know, I was in a class last night, and the instructor talked about the idea of seeing ourselves as salesmen, even though we're not. You know, I've always been an operations type guy, you know, manager, but more in the operations, mm-hmm. and not being a salesman to try to change careers, but enhancing your job by understanding sales.
Okay.
So I found this book called the, you probably heard of it, called The Joshua Principle, Leadership Secrets of RSVP Selling. And so as of last night, actually, I've been thinking about how would me better understanding selling help enhance, you know, just my growth, continue my growth. Because a lot of times when I read leadership books type, it begins to get a little repetitive. I don't know if you understand what I mean by that. It's kind of the same principles. The principles don't change.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and I've always spent most of my life running away from being a salesman. Every time I had found myself needing to look for a job, I would never even consider a job where I was, I had to do any quote unquote selling front line, and I don't want to do any of that now. But just the idea of adding those types of skills, you know, to help me grow in that area. Again, not me changing careers to be a salesman, but see if some of those skills that a salesman has can help me grow as a manager.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So, go ahead.
Well, I mean, he talked about, I mean, some of the stuff he talked about that we can, that's pretty obvious, but when he was especially talking about relationship building and how it relates to sales, and he did this exercise where instead of, you know, when I go to the car dealership, instead of us initially talking about cars, we talk about everything else under the sun, because he's trying to establish some kind of relationship, some kind of connection, some kind of common ground, and then from that, you know, he goes into trying to sell me a car versus when it in my personal, when I pick up the phone and I call you, you know, I call a client or someone that I have to do business with, I'm always in a rush to get straight to business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
it's like I don't mind skipping the relationship part. It kind of cutting to the chase, you know.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So it sounds like your sort of mode of operation, since you mentioned, you know, that you're more an operations guy, is that you're focused on the operational part of your job, and that what I'm hearing you say is that the relationship part may not always come up front, and
yes.
that sort of came to light for you in the seminar yesterday. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, So great. So how do you want to apply this to today's session? What can I help you with specifically?
Well, I guess I just want to talk about or kind of hear a little bit from your perspective. I know, you know, I'm supposed to do most of the talking, but just a little bit from your perspective. How do you see the idea of being a salesman being able to be applied into other fields without me having to become a salesman? Because I still don't want to be a salesman, if you understand what I'm saying. But that doesn't mean I can't learn anything from, you know, how they do business, how they do their business.
Okay.
So have you ever come across or thought about, you know, that kind of yourself as a salesman to a certain degree, or have you read or studied a lot about salesmen, and are there actually things that can be applied directly from what they do to other areas, other fields, I'll say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to be a salesman at all.
Right. So I hear what you're saying. So my question is, so is this about, so in the session, is it about you finding ways or looking for ways to increase your salesmanship without technically becoming a salesman? Is that
yes.
what I'm hearing? Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, great. So you want to find ways to sell yourself but not become a salesman. So, well, my first question to you is, what ideas do you have around this concept of selling yourself in life and yet not being a typical frontline salesman?
Well, I tell you, I hate when people, like a lot of times guys will come to me because, and it's not me, it's my position, you know, as general manager. People are always coming through with something to sell. And sometimes, you know, it gets to be a little annoying because you know that they want something or they want to sell you something, but you can kind of see through all of the, you know, the very same things I just talked about, all of the, hey, how you doing, how's your family, you know, you kind of see through all that because you know, and well, me, I'm anticipating, okay, what do you have to sell? So my normal response is kind of cut to it. You know, I'm figuring out how to cut the small talk short so that we can just get to what you're trying to sell me so I can just get on with my life type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be that person who's be more annoying because I'm trying to go through these principles that I've read in a book or something. You know, it needs to be natural. It needs to be – I just want to enhance or, you know, learn what I can, enhance my career, and move on without actually – having this role that I'm trying to play,
mm-hmm.
because there's nothing more annoying when I know someone is kind of going off the script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, especially and probably a good example of that is you ever get those cold calls at night, those marketing calls
oh,
at
yeah.
night, and they're talking to you like they've known you forever, but you know that I don't even know who this person is, so. Either you just want to hang up or you may not want to be rude and you want to say, you know, get to the point. I don't want to be that person.
Mm.
But at the same time, I would like to be able to not always rush to the business so quickly.
Yeah. So I have a question then, Otis. For you, what would selling yourself without being annoying look like?
Well, it would look like what I just said, slowing down and not rushing to the business. In other words, I called because I had an issue, but instead of just rushing to the issue, you know, take a little time to say, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, how's the family, how's things going,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of transition into it versus rushing into it, rushing to the business.
Yeah. So what shifts would you have to make in order to make that happen for you?
Well, the first thing is I'd have to be more conscious of it.
Mm.
And I'll give you a good example. I had to make a call once, and my wife was next to me, and when I called, the person answered the phone, and I just went straight to, you know, I just started talking about what I wanted to talk about. So when I hung up, she looked at me and she said, the next time you do that, before you start talking, you ask them, do they have a minute? Because you don't know what they're doing. So first of all, I wasn't even aware that I was getting straight to business until I hung up the phone. And, you know, and she said, so now it's kind of my habit to say, do you have a minute? But I still get right to business.
Right.
Do you have a minute? Yes. Okay. These are the things I have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And
yeah.
Sometimes, you know, that there's probably a better way to do it, a more personable way to do it.
Okay. So let me ask you, have you, I'm sure in your past, you know, life or in your current life, you've mm-hmm. experienced the difference between, you know, somebody getting straight to the point and somebody actually building that relationship. So is there something that you can draw on that you can say, wow, I remember a time when that really worked well, and this is why it worked well when somebody else approached me
What you know that there was it's actually one good example that sticks out in my mind quickly. When I was in Dulles, the AirTran station manager, BJ, she when I needed to call her to talk to her, she would spend the first 5 or 6 minutes talking about everything except what we need to talk about, and then we'll talk about what we need to talk about. When I called the American or Northwest station manager, it was always straight to business. And at some point, I started to realize, and I thought maybe it was just personality, that BJ was more personable and they were more, you know, a lot of stuff on their plate, so they don't have a lot of time to talk. But then maybe she just learned that it's better to kind of set the atmosphere so that we can, you know, talk versus just start, you know, going back and forth at each other. Mm-hmm. And I just noticed every time I called her, there was always time for, and I don't want to say small talk, because, I mean, she was, I really got the feeling she was genuine, so I didn't mind, you know, having that part of the conversation with her. And then we eased into what we needed to talk about. And it sometimes actually made it easier to talk about the hard stuff, because you're talking to someone you knew versus just a you know, someone on the other end of the phone that you didn't have a clue who they were type of deal.
So, Otis, what I'm hearing here a little bit is this distinction between, you know, there's a difference, well, maybe there's a difference, but sort of the distinction of
I'm hearing another conversation in on the phone.
Oh, you are?
Okay, it just went away, yeah.
Okay,
it just went away. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
What I was saying is that you talked about two things. You mentioned the word relationships, building relationships, but then you also mentioned selling yourself. And in this example that you've just given me, where would you categorize the behavior of this individual?
With BJ, probably I would categorize her on the relationship part. I don't think she was selling herself. I mean, because it was just genuine. You can tell it was genuine, and if you could just tell it was genuine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it made it easy. It made it easy to have, you know, to sit and have the chit chat, if I can call it that, with her before we got down to the business of the call or the reason of the call. Because you got the idea that it was genuine, and it actually, I don't want to say helped me relax, because there was tension. It was really any tension, but it kind of put you in a more relaxed state.
Yes. So let me check with you. So are you saying that if we could walk away today with some ideas of how you could build relationships in a more effective way that didn't come across as selling, that what would that look like? What would that do for you?
I guess what I'm just looking for is kind of continued growth, because I was also thinking about last week. You know, I was actually on vacation last week, so I had a lot of time to think. If I needed more time to think, I thought about just some more about continued career development.
Okay,
and
what does that look like?
You know,
continued career growth as it relates to relationships, what specifically does that look like for you?
No, what I mean is how can I continue? Because what I found myself doing now is in the beginning, long years ago, man, I'm always reading, I'm always studying, I'm always taking classes, and I'm finding myself kind of drifting away from that, and then I started to think, okay, I know I still need to do things to, you know, I don't know it all, to help myself to continue to grow and all these things. And one of the things I was thinking about was reading the leadership books, and I said the principles, you know, they get kind of repetitive after a while, and you find yourself reading the same things. And so last night when I saw this whole presentation on becoming a salesman, but not necessarily changing your career, kind of gleaning from that, you know, it kind of started getting me a little excited again, because now I can actually look at a different you know, kind of a different business with different principles, but see what I can learn from them to apply to what I'm doing right now to help enhance it, to keep me sharp, to keep me growing.
Okay. All right. So, because I wasn't, you know, as we've been talking, I wasn't exactly sort of clear about what you wanted to walk away with today. So
okay.
Tell me. Yeah, I think that's where I'm still not clear, is that I understand that, you know, you want to sort of find some ways to continue your growth. You mentioned, you know, relationships. So what do you want to walk away with from this call? How can I support you or help you with this?
Don't talk me out of it.
What was that?
Or just kind of, you know, give me some examples or some ideas of how, you know, you've seen, you know, from your experience, people use lessons from other industries to help develop themselves without necessarily wanting to change, because I still like what I do, so I don't want to change what I do. But maybe there are some things out there, you know, that I haven't looked at because of what I do, that maybe if I look at those areas, there's some things I can glean to help, you know, help continue to grow. And I don't want to become stale and kind of, you know, locked into, you know, this is who I am and will always be, and, you know, there's nothing else to, you know, I know I don't want to go back to college, so there's some things I know I don't want to do. But
so tell me what you gleaned, particularly that got you excited from the seminar yesterday, because something sparked you. So tell me about that, and let's see if we can leverage or build on that.
Well, one of the things that really got me excited from the seminar, you know, when he talked about the knowing your products, and he talked about, especially what got me excited was how do you value your product and your services. And one of the things that my wife has always accused me about since the day we got married is that I always undervalue myself. She said, you always undervalue yourself. So, you know, when I see, you know, listening at the seminar last night, and you know how sometimes your mind is racing and you're looking at, and I'm like, well, you know what, this actually could probably help me a little bit, because, you know, I've had a history of undervaluing myself.
Okay.
It's a stated history. It's not imagined. I mean, my wife tells me all the time, you always undervalue yourself, you know.
So what
he talked about, one of the things he talked about was, you know, value, you know, how do you determine value? You know, how do you properly value your product? And in one sense, I don't want to see myself as a product, but in one sense, I am, you know, a product.
So how do you determine your value?
Well, see, I'm not the right person to ask for that, because
I think you're the perfect person to ask that.
Because my tendency, you know, per my wife, is that, you know, I'm always undervaluing myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you think about that?
Well, I used to. And this is going to sound bad. Okay. I'm say that right now. But I hope you don't take it the wrong way. I used to disagree with her, and then, you know, it's kind of the more people you meet, the more you realize that, you know what, these people are not any smarter than me, or you know, they don't have any more than I have. Because it was always me overvaluing other people and undervaluing myself. But like I said, once you start sitting in the room and you're in the meetings and you're listening and all these things, and you go, you know, these guys don't know any more than I do. So that was kind of the awakening that maybe I am undervaluing myself, but I've never really actually consciously tried to go the next step to try to see, okay, what am I really worth kind of deal? Because that could, you know, that I don't know, that's just an exercise in futility.
Say more about that.
Well, I mean, okay, if I'll go away thinking that now I'm worth, and just go with me on this. Let's say I think that I'm worth, you know, $100, and then I start to think, well, maybe I'm worth $400, but I can't find a person to buy it for $400, and now it's going to send me into this depression because now I'm overvalued. You know, now I'm thinking that I'm worth this, and there's no takers in the market. You know how you say the market sets the value or sets the price, and then I have to. Just seems like it'd be more trouble than it's worth. It seems like it'd be more trouble than it's worth. That's probably bad, but it just seems like it'd be more trouble.
No, I'm just sitting with that. You know, I don't really have a question. I think what I'm just hearing is that, you know, what I'm hearing that you got out of the seminar yesterday was, you know, how to value your product and service, and your recognition that your product and service is you, and yet at the same time you're also recognizing that you on some level undervalue yourself. So it's really the issue here is not really about finding ways to, you know, do things differently and build relationships. What I'm hearing is that it's more about where you're stuck is how you undervalue yourself. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, but see, I've been undervaluing myself for a long time. So, you know, if you do something long enough, it becomes normal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's more now of how to properly value yourself. But then is that even worth it? If I'm not willing to change careers, if I'm not willing to go back out in the marketplace, if I'm not willing to go and beat my bosses over the head for, you know, whatever, is it even worth going through the exercise of trying to properly value? Is that even worth going through the exercise?
I don't know.
If I'm not willing to take the steps after the evaluation has taken place, is it even worth going through the exercise?
That's an excellent question for you, Otis. And
no, that's for
so
you. That's a question
that
for you.
I'm sorry.
The question I'm asking you. I'm asking you that question.
Well, I can't have the answer for you. That's a question that only you can answer. You know, are you worth more, even if you may not believe it, or maybe not believe it, but maybe you're not willing to do anything, but only you can know whether that's what you want to do. So my question really is, you know, fundamentally what comes up for me is do you think you're worth it? Just fundamentally, without thinking about, oh, well, I'd have to do this and that, fundamentally, do you believe that you're worth it?
Well, see, that's not a fair question, though. That's not a fair question. I don't think. And the reason why that's not a fair question is because to say that I believe I'm worth it is almost like a trap question. To say I believe I'm worth it, it means that I should go through the exercise. And then to say that I don't believe I'm worth it, I mean, who's going to say that they're not, you know, I'm never going to say that I'm not, you know, I don't believe that I'm worth it, because that's me at giving up, or I don't know. I just don't like the way that question is phrased and how the implication of answers either way. I can say that, yeah.
All right. No, yeah. Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that feedback. So where do you want to go from here?
Well, remember quite a few sessions ago, one of the things that we talked about was, you know, being more professional, increasing the professionalism, not just of myself and but also of my staff and the whole deal. You know, this is probably more akin to that.
Okay.
where it's a continued growth, the continued development. Again, it's going to be some hard questions to come out, because I know when I get to the chapter about, you know, valuing, I'm going to have to think about this again. But I don't want to be so overwhelmed with the heavy stuff initially to where it keeps me from starting.
Yeah, and that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the question then, is that obviously, you know, something sparked you, and so what are some of the things that you can that you took away or can take away that you can apply in your current life, business or personal, that would be of value to you?
Well, actually several things, and let me say it this way. We talked about the relationship part, where just not being in such a hurry to rush to the business of the call. I think that's a really good way to say it. Secondly, when it talks about valuation, not just me valuing myself, but, you know, the value that I place on, you know, the people around me, the staff around me, you understand? So it's not just, I wanted to just always to be just about me. But when I sat and talked to the person I'm talking to, you know, what kind of value do I place on them? How do I determine what they are? That sounds even worse. What they are worth. And then one of the things he talked about too was the process, you know, the process of selling, the process of getting from introduction to close. You know, I have to make presentations, I have to ask for money, you know, I have to ask for money all the time. Mm-hmm. And I can't just go and say, give me $1 million. I have to convince you that you giving me $1 million is beneficial for you.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Right. So that's selling. That is selling.
Yes. Yes, it is. So we're always selling ourselves, even
right.
if we don't think we are.
So I have to, you know, and so even just the idea of how do I improve on that process, because I have to go to the board and say, you know, if you spend this $1 million, this is what you're going to get, and this is how it's going to benefit you. And, you know, I have to believe what I'm saying, you know, in that end result, in that goal, in that product. And then I have to be able to, you know, convince you that, you know, you're getting value for your money. And I also have to be able to convince you that, you know, this is the best thing for you to do, is to spend, you know, this $1 million.
Yeah,
and you know, and it's really weird to have to convince someone that them spending a lot of money is the best thing that they can do.
Mm, yes.
And you know, and that's, and I think that was one of the other things. When I was sitting in the seminar, I was thinking about, you know, we have these annual meetings where I have to go in and, you know, ask for a lot of capital because we're doing a lot of projects. You know, I have to determine what projects we have to do. I have to do all the business case. Then I have to go in and have to sell them on the idea, because it's not my facility. It's their facility, and they hired me to run it. So any improvements, you know, they get the benefit of.
Yeah.
So, but all that is still selling.
Yes, absolutely. And,
I was thinking about that too.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. You know, we often don't realize, or sometimes we don't think about the fact that regardless of what you're doing, you're always selling your ideas, you're selling yourself, you're selling. I mean, it might not look like selling, but that's really what we're doing. So, you know, you had said that you wanted to walk away with some examples of things to do and ideas of how to go about that. So
right.
I want to check here is what ideas and examples do you have so far that you feel that you can leverage that you may not have leveraged to the same extent in the past?
Well, actually, as we were just talking, you know, just thinking about that, the, you know, how learning how to be a better salesman can actually help me in that part of my responsibilities when it comes to, you know, asking for money for projects, you know, kind of teaching, not teaching, but convincing, you know, the board that, you know, spending X amount of dollars for this project is beneficial for them. You know, it's going to increase the value of their assets. It's going to make it, you know, more reliable. It's going to keep it up to industry standard. All that kind of stuff that I've really never thought about it in the idea of selling.
Is what would actually you do differently now?
Selling. Yeah, I'm actually thinking about it differently now because it's actually selling.
Yeah.
And I've never seen myself as a salesman, but actually sales is a part of my job. Not in maybe the traditional sense where I go down to the car lot, you know, and a guy approaches me and he's trying to sell me something, but at the end of the day, if I'm trying to convince you that, you know, spending this money is beneficial for you, that's still selling.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like you've done it successfully.
Hit and miss. It could use some improving. It could use some improving.
Okay, so what are those improvements that you've identified, you know, or that you're starting to have these light bulbs come on? So what are, if you had to go back and say, if I had to do it over now, what are some of the improvements that you would implement?
Well, one of the things I would do is probably spend more time considering who I'm talking to. In our last meeting, when I was on travel, one of the guys stated that, you know, when he goes to these kind of meetings, that these presentations are so technical that they don't have any meaning for him. Mm-hmm. But he's a decision maker. So it's more of, okay, you know what, I just assume that everybody, you know, here understood, I mean, it was very technical in nature, but turns out most of the people are not very technical in nature.
Mm.
They just wanted, so basically understanding who I'm talking to,
okay,
and what
great.
They want, not necessarily what I want to give them, but what do they want to, you know, how do they want to hear it?
Yep, absolutely, yes.
You know, and most of the people just want you to, I mean, high level it for them. You know, they don't, I'm not saying they don't care about the details, but the details has less value to them than, you know, a good layman's definition. A good layman's definition goes further than, you know, an engineer's definition, because the engineer's definition gets so detailed that they get lost in the jargon.
Yeah, and, you know, you used that word value again, that the details have less value for some people, right? So
right.
Value is sort of depending on who you're speaking to, as you've just identified, you know, the value is going to be different for different groups of people.
And you know, and then even in those meetings sometimes, because of just this, just because of how the board is structured, you have people with, you know, from different companies that compete against each other in the marketplace, but then they also, when it comes to what I do, have a common interest. So they're constantly switching hats to our common interest common interest, marketplace, common interest marketplace. So I have to be able to sell, you know, them sometimes on the idea that, you know, I understand that, you know, you guys compete in the marketplace, but it is in all of your best interest on this point to do this thing. And you know, I think that I could improve on that as well.
Okay, great.
Kind of understand, you know, because it is an interesting dynamic. That when we're all sitting at the table, you know, there's a level of common interest, but you can never get out of your mind that once, you know, these five people leave this table, that they're back to being competitors again.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
So I think it's an interesting dynamic as well that, you know, when I have to make these presentations and even when we're doing the groundwork, you know, to be able to keep that in mind and also thinking. At the same time, okay, what's the best way to present this? What's the best way to, I won't even say present this now, what's the best way to sell this? How can I sell this?
How can I sell this
idea? So, okay. But like I said, I never thought of myself as a salesman, and as, you know, sitting in this last night, you know, looking like, wow, this is actually, you know, just part of my job requires selling.
Yeah, selling ideas. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
And I think that was a light bulb that came on last night. So I downloaded part of the book, and you know I read the preface in the first chapter. So I think I want to you know take some time this week, next week, and just read it and see, kind of dig a little deeper, deeper in it.
Yeah, and you know you just came up with two examples of things that you could do, ideas that you had. So moving forward, is there anything that could get in the way of you actually proceeding with this?
Not really, because I mean I can just do this when I'm, you know, at the end of my day, you know, got my nightlight on and just reading till I get sleepy. So I don't see that there's anything that actually get in the way. Because it's not like I have to block out, you know, X amount of time to do it. I mean, I read anyway, so it's not, I don't see anything getting in the way of it.
Okay, so there's no barriers or anything that you foresee?
No, I don't see any real barriers.
Okay. So, you know, at the beginning of the call, you know, you said that you wanted to sort of get some examples and glean some ideas of, you know, what to do differently. Have we accomplished that so far?
Yeah. As we talked and kind of the different light bulbs started to click on, yeah,
mm-hmm.
And how it relates to my business. Because I think at the beginning I was thinking more of, you know, the relationship I have with the local station managers and all that, but as we talk, kind of the light bulb is, you know, with the more on the consortium side and, you know, with all of the capital projects and things that we do and just, you know, what I have to go through. I never saw it as being selling, but it's actually selling.
Yeah.
It's the same as.
So what's the next first action step for you with this new insight?
Well, what I want to do is read the book. I want to read the book.
Okay.
That's one thing I want to do. I want to read the book because we didn't go through the book in any detail. It was more of just a kind of an outlined approach.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of detail in there that was just, this is not even addressed because it wasn't a forum for it. So I want to read the book. And I'm not going to say that I want to read, you know, 10 books on selling. That may be a little more than I want to do. But I think that the way that, you know, this was presented, that at the least, you know, I want to read this book. And if I kind of get a little more excited, you know, or kind of keep that excitement, then I may go a little further. But I don't want to make any promises right now.
Okay.
I don't want to bite off
too
much.
So your commitment is not to make a commitment right now, right?
My commitment is to commit to read the book
and
kind of understand the principles that he's laying out. But I don't want to commit anything beyond that right now.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Great. So in closing our session today, Otis, what are you taking away?
Well, to kind of be open-minded, you know, see what I can learn from other businesses, from other, you know, people, other careers, even though they, you know, initially they may not seem like they're directly related, but there are some lessons that I can learn that can be applied, and even you know, be open-minded to look at what I do differently. Like I said, I've never seen myself as a salesman. But what I have to do every year is sell people on things, sell people on ideas.
Yeah.
So I have never looked at myself like a salesman. I have ran from being a salesman my whole life. But you know.
Well, that sounds like a very sort of profound new insight for you. That
it actually is. It actually is.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So
right.
I will commit to reading the book, but. Right now, and see, now I've also learned not to try to overcommit
right.
or bite off more than I can chew.
Yeah.
So I have to commit. I will commit to reading the book, but beyond that, I don't want to commit to much more.
Okay. All right.
Not initially.
Not initially.
I'm not saying
All
I won't go further, but not initially.
Right. Okay, great.
Right.
Well, listen, I'm going to stop the recording and stay on the line, and then we'll just wrap up. Hold on.
Okay.